Track 2 News. Hello and welcome to the Black Country Talking News. It's Wednesday, the 19th of December, 2018. And today in the studio, we have Martin and Pav as sound engineers, myself, Bronwyn, Brian and Sue. And just to let you know that with the holidays, the Christmas holidays and New Year coming up, our next Talking Newspaper will be on the 9th of January. And with that, Brian will take you away with the news.
This year, retailers like Toys R Us and Maplin have fallen off the face of the earth, while New Look, Mothercare and House of Fraser are slashing their estates. Consumer shopping habits have changed dramatically over the last 5 years, and many retailers aren't keeping up. Online sales have been steadily rising over the last decade, with internet sales making up 16.3% of all retail sales in Britain in 2017. While high street retailers struggle, online shops like clothing firm ASOS are booming. The rocketing numbers of store closures have led to many people fearing traditional British high streets are doomed, with retailers also hit by soaring business rates and high rents. According to the co-founder of the £75 million turnover chocolate retailer Green and Blacks, it's not all doom and gloom for the high street. Speaking at a business event in Shrewsbury, Joe Fairley said it was up to retailers to be more creative, to win over customers, and called for them to improve shoppers' experience in order to thrive. For 2 years, shoppers heading into Wolverhampton have been putting up with upheavals as the Manda Centre underwent a multi-million pound refurb. The centre was completely refurbished and configured, a series of new larger stores were created, and some of the smaller ones closed and were relocated within the centre. By far the biggest change was the demolition of the old TJ Hughes store and Tesco to make way for the new 93,000 square foot Debenham store occupying four floors, the opening of which rounded off the redevelopment last autumn. This Christmas, the centre will be hoping to reap the benefits of those changes. Often, larger stores are considered to act as a major draw that will entice shoppers to consider the high street as a whole, and other retailers have also made moves that indicate their approval of the latest changes. New Look committed to an 18,000 square foot unit at the lower level next to H&M in the heart of the shopping centre. That in turn followed independent jeweller T.H. Baker's opening of a store in the Manda Centre, bringing the brand back to Wolverhampton after a 40-year absence. It now occupies a 2,000 square foot unit on the Upper Mall opposite the new Debenhams. The centre is also home to the likes of Bon Marché, Boots, Claire's Accessories, H&M, Starbucks and Superdrug, who will hope to benefit from the investment. Ground was also due to be broken this year to mark the start on Wolverhampton's £55 million Westside Leisure Complex, but work has been delayed. Once complete, it will bring the city centre's first multiplex cinema, as well as restaurants, bars, a multi-storey car park and a new hotel. The shopping mall has been part of Black Country life since 1985 and features shops like Debenhams, Marks & Spencer, Primark, Asda and Next. But like all retail, it needs to constantly reinvent itself if it is to draw in shoppers. Maryhill is set for a £100 million of investment over the next few years with a new cinema and more restaurant space. This summer, it saw the opening of a large new Next store on the site of the former Sainsbury's supermarket, while Primark has expanded to take over part of the old BHS site. Shopping centre group Intu, which owns the site, also wants to create a new housing estate around the centre. Colin Jarvie, senior asset manager at Maryhill, said, "As part of the centre's multi-million pound transformation, we have worked closely with a number of key tenants, including Next and Primark, who have launched newly refurbished and extended stores. Work was completed this year to convert a former Sainsbury's site into one of Next's biggest stores in the UK, and Primark has now also officially opened its fantastic new store, which is over 70% larger than the previous one. We are home to some of the biggest and best brands in the UK. With a string of popular new stores moving into the centre already this year, including Timberland, Typo, Neon Sheep, Foot Locker, Pizza SQR and B&M, we're committed to making the retail offering here at Intu Maryhill even better. The centre, which attracts more than 18 million visitors per year, is also welcoming Flannels and Sports Direct stores this year, followed by a brand new Iceland store in 2019. It's a huge vote of confidence for Intu, Maryhill's exciting future as a prime retail and leisure destination where brands can really flourish and customers leave happier than when they first arrived, Mr. Jarvie added.
The Walsall Musician features in the Best New Artist category alongside the likes of Chloe X Halle, Luke Combs, Greta Van Fleet, H.E.R., Dua Lipa, Margot Price and Bebe Rexha. Talking about the nomination on Twitter, former Aldridge School pupil Georgia thanked her fans for an amazing year. I have no words. Dropped a video today too and got nominated for a Grammy, the post said. I love what I'm doing. It can get a lot sometimes, but everything is worth it, always. The news follows the release of her new music video for single The One, directed by Hector Dockrill. The 21-year-old singer has enjoyed a successful 2018, which has seen her release her debut album, Lost and Found. Georgia won the Critics' Choice Award at the Brits earlier this year, where she performed alongside Rag & Bone Man. The star has been named among the top 50 movers and shakers of the moment and was also nominated for this year's Mercury Prize. Bursting onto the scene in 2016 with her critically acclaimed debut single Blue Lights, Georgia was subsequently tipped for success by a plethora of publications including The Fader, ID Magazine, Pitchfork, NPR, Vogue and many more. In 2017, Georgia went on to support megastar Bruno Mars on the US leg of his world tour, collaborated with Drake and also co-wrote I Am, her solo single on the number one Black Panther soundtrack with rapper Kendrick Lamar. Georgia has also worked with the likes of Carly Ukis and Stormzy, who is set to headline Glastonbury Festival next year. The Grammys will be handed out at the Staples Center in Los Angeles on February the 10th. British singer Ellie Mae also landed two nominations for Song of the Year and Best R&B Song for Boot Up. In the Song of the Year category, she will compete against Kendrick Lamar and SZA for All the Stars, God's Plan by Drake, In My Blood by Shawn Mendes, The Joke by Brandi Carlile, The Middle by Zedd, Maren Morris and Grey, Shallow by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper from the film A Star Is Born, and This Is America by Childish Gambino. Drake and Lamar led the nominations for the Music Awards with seven each, including the coveted Album of the Year.
An historic Black Country landmark featuring an iconic clock tower has undergone a multi-million pound transformation. The former Little London JMI School in Willenhall, which closed more than a decade ago, has undergone a complete refurbishment to make it suitable for Wedge Group Galvanising Limited. The company, the largest hot-dipping galvanising organisation in the UK, with 14 plants around the country, dates back to 1869 in Willenhall, with records showing John Wedge running a galvanising business. The galvanising organisation has been at its current site in Stafford Street since 1876, but is now relocating to the nearby site of the former school, which closed more than a decade ago. The clock tower has been refurbished and protected as part of the redevelopment, offering offices and facilities for more than 20 staff. Chris Wooldridge, Managing Director of Wedge Group Galvanising Limited, said, "We're thrilled to have restored the clock tower, which is of great significance to residents of the town. Our investment will see this historic site, which has been derelict for more than a decade, given a brand new lease of life and the opportunity to be a revered landmark in the community once again. Next year, we'll celebrate 150 years since John Wedge began a galvanising operation in Willenhall. And what better way to do that than by continuing his legacy in the new headquarters? The work has been carried out under the considerate contractor scheme, which uses contractors who minimise disturbance to the area. Wolverhampton Architects Tweedale is the company behind the design." Michael Bates, Director of Architecture, said, "This has been a fantastic project to be involved in because of the challenge of creating a design that complements and enhances elements of the existing locally listed building in a conservation area and respecting its history and key features. The design provides a contemporary, first-class working environment and will give the building a new life for many years to come. The site was taken over by Wedge Group Galvanising in October and transformed from a crumbling relic. The former school site was closed in 2007 and has been subject to spates of vandal attacks and fly-tipping. Walsall Council approved the bid to transform the school into offices in 2016. Diane Coughlan, Labour councillor for Willenhall South, said she was thrilled with the results of the refurbishment. She said, "It means a lot because originally it was a boys' school, so we've got people in their 80s who went there. It was closed and Little London took it over, and there's a clock tower which is locally listed." Wedge bought the site and have totally refurbished the site in keeping with the original designs. They've done a marvellous job and the community are really thrilled with the outcome.
A master plan to bulldoze Dudley Eyesore Cavendish House and replace it with a huge retail complex and cinema is to receive crucial funding to get the project off the ground. Business chiefs at the Black Country Local Enterprise Partnership are set to award the plan more than £600,000 to allow work to start at the site overlooking Dunklin Edwards Way. It was recommended in a report to the Black Country Local Enterprise Partnership that the body agree to fund the first phase of the project with 100% of its cost needs, a total of £664,725. Phase one of the Portersfield Development Scheme will see the long-awaited demolition of Cavendish House, the former B&Q building and the former Scout Hut building. The £664,000 expected to be granted will go towards the overall £82 million scheme, dubbed the Master Plan, which has been segmented into five phases. Overall, the plan will see new retail space, a cinema, 189 apartments, 222 car parking spaces, bars, restaurants and a health club, and help to create 324 new jobs for the area. Councillor Kieran Casey, Cabinet Member for Regeneration and Enterprise, said, "Cavendish House and the area around the site is a key regeneration project and one that will make a massive difference to the town centre, particularly with the new bus interchange that is planned and once the metro comes to Dudley. A planning application has been submitted for the site and is currently being looked at by officers. Given the importance of this site, the current condition of the building and the impact this has on the town centre, I want to ensure that everything is done to move this along as quickly as possible so that the demolition of the building can start, which will signal the start of an exciting redevelopment. It comes after the project has faced delays, with the demolition date for Cavendish House having been set back a number of times."
A local rising star will perform in the world premiere of Matthew Bourne's Romeo and Juliet at the Birmingham Hippodrome. Lewis Baker from Walsall, who is training at Flexus Dance Collective, will appear in the production. He says he was inspired to dance after seeing Matthew Bourne's Swan Lake. He'll be joined by fellow successful auditionees of Orla Baxendale, India Rose Cox, Savannah French, Alexander Love, Landmore, as part of the brand new show. In April this year, there was a call out from New Adventures for currently training young dancers aged between 16 and 19. After attracting over 1,000 applications, a UK-wide audition tour took place. The young cast members will perform at each venue alongside the New Adventures company. Talking ahead of the production, Matthew Bourne said, "New Adventures, Romeo and Juliet, will be a celebration of youthful energy, talent and creativity, both on and off stage, and uniquely in all aspects of choreography, design and music, through the appointment of a series of young associate artists. Our new company for Romeo and Juliet features a staggering 97 young dancers making their debuts with us. Some are joining us as part of their third year of training. Others have come through our company initiatives such as Swan School, a summer adventure, and of course, our production of Lord of the Flies, which inspired so many young men to seek careers in dance. This time we have focused on nurturing young male and female dancers, and I have been overwhelmed by the talent that we have had to choose from throughout the UK. I'm particularly happy to be working alongside my young associate, choreographer Arielle Smith, an exceptional young dance maker of great maturity and vision. In turn, after 30 years as a professional choreographer, I look forward to being refreshed and inspired by what this team of young artists will bring to Shakespeare's classic tale of tragic conflict and young love. The young stars will perform alongside the likes of Cordelia Braithwaite, Andrew Monaghan, Seren Williams, Bryony Harrison, Paris Fitzpatrick, Yeo Carolino, Harrison Dalzell and Bryony Wood. They are joined by leading New Adventures artists Madeline Brennan, Daisy May Kemp, Danny Rubens and Daniel Wright, who will create the adult world of Romeo and Juliet. Matthew Bourne's Romeo and Juliet will run at the Birmingham Hippodrome from September 10th to the 14th.
A unique collection of photographs and objects showing Staffordshire's role during the First World War has been brought together online for the first time. The Jake Whitehouse collection features more than 1,600 postcard photographs and objects relating to the county's role in the war. The training camps on Cannock Chase and the stories of the thousands of British and New Zealand servicemen who trained there are documented in the collection. More than 300 of these original postcards show soldiers and civilian workers working, training and at leisure, while stories of German prisoners of war are also there to be explored. The postcards were published by local businesses for the troops to send to their loved ones or to keep as souvenirs. The collection belonged to a local and military historian and author of A Town for Four Winters, Jake Whitehouse, who passed away last year. Staff and volunteers from local community groups and Staffordshire County Council's Museum Service have created the resource after Jake's wife Jill gave permission for the collection to be shared online. Jill Heath, Cabinet Member for Communities at Staffordshire County Council, said, "This is a fascinating collection of photos and images that gives us a real insight into the county's role during the First World War." Jake spent most of his life collecting and researching the subject, and his enthusiasm and drive has certainly helped keep alive the memories of the camps and the people who trained there. It's wonderful that people can now share in the story, and I would love to thank his wife Jill for allowing our museum service to make the collection available online. The project was funded by the Heritage Lottery Fund with support from the Lander Society, Barkswich History Society and the Friends of Cannock Chase, who have helped research and document the collection. Christopher Jakeman, otherwise known as Jake Whitehouse, was born in Bloxwich in 1926. After a varied military career during and after the Second World War, Jake became an English primary school teacher in Stafford, living in Brockton. His military experiences and a lifetime study of military history gave him a unique insight into the camps of Cannock Chase.
Wolverhampton legend Beverly Knight is the latest to back a long-standing campaign to save Dudley Hippodrome. The singer said she hoped the decision to move talks further over turning the Hippodrome into a £9 million hub for driverless vehicles was not the end of the story. Dudley Council's Cabinet passed a motion allowing council officers to discuss the plans with a consortium further and rejected another bid hoping to turn the landmark site into a theatre. Beverly, an ambassador of the Theatre's Trust, said, "Growing up in Wolverhampton, I was fortunate enough to have access to local venues like the Hippodrome. It was at local level I learned to love and hone my craft. I hate the thought that future generations won't have the same opportunities I had, and I hope that the latest sad news about Dudley Hippodrome isn't the end of its story. The Council's decision is hugely disappointing for everyone who's been working to bring Dudley Hippodrome back into use for the community, but some hope still remains. While it is frustrating the Council didn't give the campaign group the same opportunity to prove their business plan, this 12-month period does give them the time to strengthen their campaign and continue to build support for Dudley Hippodrome, should the driverless vehicle proposal prove unviable. The theatre is situated in a prominent part of Dudley that has been highlighted for regeneration. A revitalised Dudley Hippodrome could make a significant social and economic contribution to the local area. The Theatre's Trust has long backed calls for the venue to be saved. It previously placed the Hippodrome on its at-risk register and urged action to preserve it. Members of Dudley Hippodrome Community Group have vowed to fight on. They will host a celebration night marking the Hippodrome's 80th birthday. And that grand variety night will take place on December 21st at the Station Hotel in Castle Hill, Dudley.
Nearly 40,000 people are waiting for hospital treatment in Sandwell, according to new figures, which revealed the Borough Hospital Trust's waiting list is expected to grow 50% since the start of 2018 by the end of the year. Shock new figures revealed the huge backlog of patients waiting to be treated by Sandwell's Hospital Trust, which has prompted a warning from the borough's clinical commissioning group, the CCG. The waiting list has grown from 30,071 from the start of the year to 37,871 till October. Trust bosses say the number could be as high as 44,000 by the end of the year, as they struggle to keep up with the level of demand. Bosses at the Trust, which runs Samwell General and Birmingham City Hospital, say they are working on a plan to address this heading into 2019. A Trust Board report said, "The patient treatment list, the waiting list, has steadily increased throughout the year, from 30,071 to 37,871 in October, with a projection of 42,000 to 44,000 by the end of the year without intervention. A plan to address this across the first 6 months of 2019 is being finalised," the report added. The CCG has emphasised that it expects the Trust to manage its waiting list down to March 2018 position and have raised concerns regarding patient clearance rates and backlog. Meanwhile, Trust Chief Executive Toby Lewis has acknowledged unacceptable A&E waiting times. "Just 81.2% of people who arrive in A&E in October, the most recent figures available, were seen within 4 hours, way down on the government's 95% target. Performance has remained fairly static for the last 2 years, as health chiefs have battled to ensure more patients are seen on time." Mr. Lewis added, "Despite that endeavour, our four-hour wait position has not improved and is below the first and second planned trajectories we set. A new medicine and emergency care management team are in place from February, but we need to see improvements before they arrive."
A group of Black Country musicians and performers have raised £3,550 for charity. Billy Spakemon, host of Black Country Radio's The Omer and Chain Show, and musician John Langford organised a variety of gigs and musical performances across Black Country venues to raise the funds for Parkinson's UK. The Buskin' for Parkinson's events were held after the group decided they wanted to raise money for the charity in support of those who have the disease. Billy said, "This year has been a joy. The work I do with the musicians is not just about trying to raise money for our chosen charity, but to become informed and understand the lives of individuals who have to learn to cope with illnesses. It's been humbling both from that aspect but also from the generosity of all who have supported us. Ordinary people can make extraordinary differences. This year has proved that." The group presented the money to charity regional fundraiser Gail Kelly at the Maverick Pub in Amblecote on December the 5th. Gail Kelly, regional fundraiser for Birmingham and the Black Country at Parkinson's UK, said, "Nobody should have to face Parkinson's alone or without hope that one day we'll find better treatments and a cure. These have been such fun events with so much enthusiasm, energy and hard work from all the bands and of course from Billy and John. Thanks to everyone involved for raising such an amazing amount which will make such a difference to people living with Parkinson's. The disease is a progressive neurological condition for which there is currently no cure and it affects 145,000 people in the UK, including 12,000 in the West Midlands. Parkinson's UK, their mission is to find a cure and improve life for everyone affected by Parkinson's through cutting-edge research, information, support and campaigning." And with that final item from me, we'll now make way for the notices. So it's goodbye from Bronwyn.
Goodbye from Brian.
And it's goodbye from Sue. Goodbye, everybody.